Good morning to you, Tucson, and all of Southern Arizona. Welcome into the 1030 The Voice studios for this morning drive time hour of Tipping Point with Zach Enser here on AM 1030 KVOI The Voice. Daily in-depth news, conversation, and talk about the people, ideas, and issues shaping Tucson's future. I'm your host, Zach Enser. We're going to jump right in here. Time is ticking. We have the mayor of Tucson, Regina Romero, on the show with us for the first half of the show. Yvette Marie Marguillan will be on at the end of the show, Tucson Tea Company, to talk about her small business. And it is National Small Business Week, so it's all tying in really well here together. Mayor Romero, it's good to see you. Thanks for being on the air.
Thank you for inviting me, Zach. I really appreciate it.
Absolutely. So I was telling you before we got on, the issue I had all week this week, I was working with your team, was not what do we talk about, but maybe what don't we get to that I would right. love to get to. What are the top themes? I want to start with the topic that's on a lot of people's mind, and it's good to see you again, is the vaccine mandate.
Yes.
By the city of Tucson put in place. Some state legislators asked for a look at it. Attorney General Brnovich and company made a statement that yes, state law doesn't take effect until September 29th, but there is a Governor Ducey's August 16th executive order. You had mentioned, you had put out a statement that you felt like Attorney General Brnovich's statement on that was politically motivated, but the city manager and city staff did put a pause on the vaccine mandate. That pause, I believe, was continued. Does the city have a legal standing in your mind to continue with the vaccine mandate? And part B, does it matter at this point, given that 83%, I think, was the number of city staff have been vaccinated? If it were to end today, does it matter?
Well, exactly. I think you've hit on points of how of the reasons why we acted the way we've acted. One, no. According to our city attorney, the attorney general does not have standing to say that we're violating a law that is yet not a law. And so that's the reason why, you know, in my commentary, in the city attorney's advice, no, we are not violating a law that is not yet a law. That just doesn't make any sense. And in my commentary to the Attorney General's report, yes, it was a political speech as opposed to a reading of the law, which is his job as the Attorney General of Arizona to read the laws on the books. And yes, as you said, is it worth moving forward, because we're today's September 16th, on the 29th is when the law takes effect. That is a reason that I and my colleagues on the council gave direction to the city manager to continue the pause, because is it really worth going to court when in reality the attorney general, even if the law were in effect, we have 30 days to cure the change that we have to do. So based on the numbers that we received from our human resources department, 83% of the workforce in the city of Tucson is now vaccinated, and that is compared to 65% of eligible population in Pima County. So 83% is a very good percentage. 740 city of Tucson employees reported that after our mandate, they took their first vaccination. And so we looked and looked at the numbers and looked at the days that we have to go to the 29th, and we said, it's not worth it. Saying that, it's not worth going to court and battling
it out,
right?
So
the pause continues.
The pause is no longer a pause.
The pause continues for now because there is a case in the Arizona Supreme Court where the Arizona Schools Boards Association went to battle with the state legislature and the governor, because the state legislature rolled up all of these laws into their reconciliation, into their budgeting process. And that is unconstitutional. So the Arizona School Boards Association and the City of Phoenix have taken the state legislature to court. We have heard that this Friday is when we're going to hear what the resolution of that court case is. And according to the advice of our city attorney, we have a very good chance, the School Boards Association and the City of Phoenix have a very good chance that those laws will be thrown out.
Interesting.
Because there is a constitutional law that says that the state legislature cannot roll different laws into their budgeting process. So we're, you know,
to be continued.
And we will also have to see what the federal mandate with the Biden, President Biden's federal mandate and how that affects the city of Tucson as employer. Lots of things going on. But up to now, we're very happy with the decisions that we have made and with the numbers that we see in terms of return of City of Tucson employees that got their vaccination.
Mayor Romero is with us, the mayor of the City of Tucson. We'll put a pin in that conversation. I want to fit one more thing in before our first break. We have the mayor on for two segments. And again, thank you for your time. Another thing that came up from listeners, as because this is a, on this show, it's a two mayor, one university president week. We had Mayor Tom Murphy from Sabarita on Tuesday. President Robbins from the U of A on the show tomorrow. So it's been a busy week. Two mayors, one university president. I've been putting that out there, and people have been asking about public safety. We need about 50 new officers to get through each academy cohort. I think we're averaging about 30. And at the same time, we're seeing crime rise considerably as a part of a national trend. It's here in Tucson, especially Part 1 homicides and murders. I think objectively, from the bully pulpit of the seven of y'all on the dais, I think it's been largely quiet about this 2021 trend. And I would say, again, this is not a Tucson problem. It's happened all over the country. We've seen mayors and councils around the country try to figure out vocally, how do we solve this? When does this all hit a breaking point for you and the council team, when kind of the bully pulpit starts to come into play of saying, this is out of control, this is a problem, we got to solve it? Your thoughts abbreviated before we go to a break.
Well, I would suggest, I would push back. I would push back on your comment that we have been silent on this. I have actually been very, very loud in terms of funding community safety and violence interruption. We, the mayor and council, have budgeted millions of dollars, at least $10 million, for violence interruption programs through the American Rescue Plan. We just had this conversation on Tuesday, and we've been having it for a month in terms of the money that we're putting into it. In terms of community safety, the mayor and council created a community safety program. We funded the community safety director for that position, and we're working with police and fire, as well as housing, community development, and all of the departments within the city of Tucson that have to do with community safety. And so we acknowledge that crime is rising and homicides are rising throughout the country. And I'm working hand in hand with Police Chief Magnus in terms of our solutions that we're exploring to make sure that we target the areas of the city of Tucson where we see high violence. Something that we know for a fact is that in areas that we are seeing high crime and homicide are the same areas that are low-income, high-stress areas in our community. So we are not just adding more police officers to the issue, we are adding more resources and looking at it in a holistic way so that we can invest in infrastructure and neighborhood reinvestment in our parks and, of course, in our police. We've given the go-ahead to police chief to you know, go through as many academies as we need so that we can catch up in terms of sworn police officers. But funding is not the issue. We've given our chief the go-ahead. We recently passed a compensation increase for all city employees, including police officers. And our police officers received a 13.5% pay increase. And so we are doing everything we possibly can to recruit and retain our police officers. But it's not just throw more police officers at the problem issue. It's a much more holistic, and that's the violence intervention program that we're funding and the community safety program that we're funding, so that we can look at youth employment, that we can look at behavioral and mental health, at substance use disorders, at, you know, investing in workforce development, in neighborhood reinvestment, in, you know, so on and so on and so on. All of those issues take much more than just adding boots on the ground.
And on this program, I just want to say, I've done it a couple times. If you didn't have a chance to hear live over the last many months, have thanked you and the council for that pay raise for our public service officers. It was the right thing to
do. Yes,
absolutely. It was backed up by data. It was long overdue. I thank you for doing that. Matt, let's go to our first break. When we come back, I've got two more topics to bend the mayor's ear on. The mayor's with us for one more segment here on Tipping Point with Zach Yenser, AM 1030 KVY. The Voice will return in just a minute.
Place where Tucson comes to talk. 1030, The Voice.
What are the community stories that define us? Talking about these stories are what Tipping Point is about, and what Storyteller PR, a public relations firm in Tucson, has been doing meaningfully for years in our community. Storyteller PR activates publicity, social media, and event production to establish and strengthen the reputation of Southern Arizona brands and organizations. What story do you need to tell? Visit us at storytellerpr.com to learn more.
The Men in Black are back. FC Tucson is our city's own professional soccer team, featuring talent from around the country and the world. They're ready to get back to business and a winning season for Tucson fans. Each one of the 14 home games this season will be uniquely curated and feature the sights, smells, and sounds of Tucson, but with the intensity of a playoff berth at Keno Stadium. Tickets now on sale. Head to fctucson.com to get yours for an exciting season of high-flying football. fctucson.com.
You love Decibel Coffee Works, the coffee of Tipping Point and the Yenser household, for their quality roasted coffee and beans. Now they're giving you even more reasons. Open now, the Scratch Kitchen at the MSA Annex will provide quick and easy breakfast and lunch with vegetarian and vegan options available to enjoy with your drink. Visit the MSA Annex right off the I-10 and Cushing to be one of the first to try. 267 South Avenida del Convento. In 1994, the University of Arizona took the bold step of acquiring an industrial park in southeastern Pima County and transforming it into a university research park. With over 25 years of success, Tech Parks Arizona continues to advance innovation. Whether it's 40 startups at the University of Arizona Center for Innovation or the new Tech Park at the Bridges that just broke ground, they are integral in shaping the future of Southern Arizona. Tech Parks Arizona, moving innovation at the speed of business.
Life isn't about money, but how you handle money impacts everything. The Ramsey Show, today at 1 on 1030, The Voice.
And we're back here in the 1030 The Voice studios this morning. Tipping Point with Zach Yenser. Welcome back. Part two of our conversation this morning with Mayor Regina Romero, Mayor of the City of Tucson. Mayor, again, thanks for being with us.
Thank you.
We are flying through a number of topics. I want to talk about National Small Business Week before all is said and done. But here's a question. On this program, I'm committed to having a balanced conversation, hearing both sides. And on the minimum wage item that's going to be on the ballot in November, we've heard from the No On campaign. We've heard from the organizers of the Fight for 15 within the last couple of weeks on this program. One of the things that the opponents say is interesting is that they are, and I think it changed this week, but they're not seeing support from the current mayor and council. I think Councilmember Paul Cunningham jumped in this week or the week before, maybe more recent. But they're saying Mayor Romero is not coming out for this. Councilmember Santa Cruz is not coming out for this. Does the mayor and council support the fight for 15? And they're saying no. So I've got you in studio. I have to ask, well, do you support a minimum wage increase in the city of Tucson?
As you well know, I actually have been at the fight for 15 for years now as a council member and as mayor. I took the approach of moving that $15 minimum wage in the city of Tucson. It took us 2 years to get it done because it's not just about moving people up to $15 an hour. It's also about the compression that it creates with others that have been that have seniority and years in our city. And because the city of Tucson took that approach for our employees, Pima County came along, TUSD came along, and other jurisdictions, that has affected at least 10,000 families in the city of Tucson and in Pima County. And now, so as a huge believer of the $15 minimum wage, I have not endorsed the initiative. I am studying it. My contention with the organizers of the $15 minimum wage initiative has always been, and I've told them, and I have been very, very clear with them, that I felt the strategy to change the minimum wage in our region was not to just do it in the city of Tucson. I begged and pleaded and said, I will help you get signatures personally if you put it on a Pima County ballot, because I believe that making the city of Tucson businesses pay $15 minimum wage when other unincorporated areas in other cities or towns around us don't, puts the businesses, especially the mom and pop, the locally owned small businesses in the city of Tucson, at a disadvantage.
Yeah.
Saying that, I'm looking at the initiative and really studying what it's going to take the city of Tucson to actually create.
They're making some big asks of y'all.
Yeah, they're
over
making
there.
a huge ask
of
creating a new department, creating new bureaucracy, and even a court, creating a new court for employees to have, to bring cases to the city of Tucson, to the newly created court in our bureaucracy, mm-hmm. To have contentious issues solved at the city of Tucson. So it's a big ask, but I'm a huge fan of putting more money into the pockets of working families. And so it's a difficult position. I feel that Pima County Board of Supervisors should get involved. Three of the Board of Supervisors have endorsed the initiative, and I, asked them that if they do believe in making $15 minimum wage, that the Board of Supervisors pass it through ordinance, because not a lot of people know this. Both Mayor and Council and Pima County Board of Supervisors can make $15 minimum wage through ordinance.
Mm-hmm.
And so if this initiative passes in the city of Tucson, I would ask my colleagues on the Board of Supervisors, since there's already three votes to make it happen, to pass a minimum wage through ordinance with a similar language that the initiative has, so that it could be a $15 minimum wage throughout our mm-hmm. county. And that would be the best solution for families in our region.
Mero, I appreciate you getting into the weeds on that. That was an unscripted question. I'm listening to my listeners. I appreciate getting into the weeds on that. Whether or not I agree with the initiative, I agree with you that I think one of the weaknesses could be that it's just the city of Tucson. And I had the organizers on. They said, look, we think the state's going to get to $15 an hour anyway very soon. The interest, Mayor, as you mentioned, is on the infrastructure piece. That's really what this is about.
Yeah, that's concerning.
And I want to fact check this real quick, something that I said. I'm looking at the website. Mayor, Councilmember Ulick, Councilmember Cunningham, and Councilmember Kozacik have mm-hmm. jumped in support So I just wanted to fact check that on the fly.
Thank you.
Because I think facts are important, Mayor.
Very.
I wanted to ask you this. We've got three and a half, four minutes. We've got 3 minutes, but I think we can do this. It's National Small Business Week.
Yes.
What is the city of Tucson doing? What could it be doing better as we come out of COVID to support aspiring entrepreneurs and new companies and growth? You've heard me say this before. 75% of the state's GDP comes out of the Phoenix area.
Mm-hmm.
Nobody who wants a strong state, let alone a strong Tucson,
right.
should be happy about
exactly.
that number. How does our pie grow? 3 minutes, mero, mero.
Oh, Lord.
I know.
Another
I'm doing my best here.
Another passionate issue that I care a lot about. Through when the city of Tucson received $90 million through CARES, we put back into the pockets of our small businesses, our nonprofits, our working families, more than $55 million. And so we put out grants that small, locally owned businesses could apply for. $20,000 in their pockets with a very streamlined process for them to apply. So I feel that I think it must have been $6 to $8 million. I'm going to have to take a look at that. $6 to $8 million that we put in the pockets of small businesses in the city of Tucson through CARES. We've created five small business navigators. I actually ran on this idea, and it's awesome to see it come to fruition. Five small business navigators so that the city of Tucson is friendly and supportive of our small businesses in the city of Tucson. From A to Z, anyone, any small business that could pick up the phone and call the city of Tucson and say, hey, I'm having problems with this, or I have questions on this, or I need access to capital. Those small business navigators will help them in whatever issues and help these small businesses need. Now, we are receiving American Rescue Plan dollars, and we are also putting those dollars out into the community. violence interruption programs, neighborhood reinvestment, youth employment programs, and small business development and investment. And so we're putting millions of dollars into micro loans and revolving loan funds for small businesses. We're partnering with the City of Tucson IDA so that we could look at different approaches to funding and lending capital to small businesses. And so we're creating a much more stronger infrastructure within the City of Tucson government to help as much as we can in partnering with our Chambers of Commerce, Pima County, and others that want to partner with small businesses in terms of larger economic initiatives. We have to make sure that we continue working with Pima County and the Arizona Commerce Authority, which has a lot of dollars coming from the state of Arizona that are mostly concentrated in the Phoenix area.
Oh, I've given them a hard time.
We
there.
Have to pull them in here into Pima County and make sure that Pima County participates yeah. on those dollars to be able to attract and retain bigger businesses and high-wage long-term jobs in the city of Tucson.
Mayor Romero, that'll do it for us today. So grateful
you.
For you coming into studio. I think we covered a lot of ground.
Oh, my goodness.
I
yes.
appreciate it. I'm a little breathless. I don't know about you. Let's do this again soon, if you would, and appreciate you coming in.
Absolutely. Thank you, Zach.
We're going to go to our bottom of the hour news break. When we come back, a little bit of conversation from me and then Small Business Spotlight. We'll be right back.
When looking at retirement planning, conventional thinking asks, how do I get a higher return? Should I take on more risk, or is there a better product? Jason Robinson and his team at MassMutual focuses on the overall strategy first. He and his team of advisors have the tools necessary to measure the proper balance of investments and actuarial science for the best path possible for the highest retirement income. Call Jason and his team at 520-274-3749 to have them run through an analysis at no cost to see how much more efficient you can be, and tell them Zach sent you over.
Why I love
where I live. It's a brand and movement that began here in Tucson to spark gratitude and celebrate the good things about where we live. Like so many businesses, they had to make changes to their hours and operations during COVID-19. But I'm so excited to announce that they are now reopened for regular hours. Go to whyiloveWhereILive.com right now to see all the new products and offerings and plan a visit to their location at the MSA Annex on Cushing off the I-10 and Avenida del Convento. Why do you love where you live?
The Men in Black are back. FC Tucson is our city's own professional soccer team, featuring talent from around the country and the world. They're ready to get back to business and a winning season for Tucson fans. Each one of the 14 home games this season will be uniquely curated and feature the sights, smells, and sounds of Tucson, but with the intensity of a playoff berth at Keno Stadium. Tickets now on sale. Head to fctucson.com to get yours for an exciting season of high-flying football. fctucson.com.
When you manage your money with a credit union, you're taking true ownership of your finances and how your money impacts the community. Stop letting banking just happen to you. Bring your money home to Vantage West, federally insured by NCUA.
After you finish listening to The Tipping Point, listen to my show, The Hugh Hewitt Show, this morning from 10 to noon, right here on 1030 KBOI The Voice.
Good morning, Tucson and all of Southern Arizona. Welcome back into the 1030 The Voice studios. Tipping Point with Zach Yenser here on AM 1030 KVOI The Voice. Same place. Daily in-depth news, conversation, and talk about the people, ideas, and issues shaping Tucson's future. Mr. Matt Neely, I just caught my breath. Whew. Felt like I buckled up and ran a million miles on that interview.
Busy half hour.
With Mayor Romero, City of Tucson Mayor. I thought we had some incredible conversation. Disappointed that the time ran out on, I think, two important issues that I wanted to get to, and that was transportation infrastructure and affordable housing. All week, I mean this is an exaggeration, all week I've been going, what don't I get to talk about? Because I had 6 to 8 issues to talk about with the mayor, and we just didn't get there. I thought there was some really good stuff in there on some of the pressing issues. I've got Yvette Marie Madigan coming on, CEO and owner of Tucson Tea Company. We're going to talk small business here, National Small Business Week. We're going to highlight her business. But a couple of things we didn't get to, my thoughts on. One is, I really wanted to ask about the Regional Transportation Authority. We heard from Mayor Tom Murphy of Sahuarita earlier this week that the city of Tucson has still not submitted its wish list for transportation infrastructure for the RTA. And basically what happens is the RTA is a regional transportation authority. As we are looking towards a renewal in 2026 or maybe even a little bit earlier, all the municipalities participating basically submit a wish list. And then my understanding is the Community Advisory Council then goes ahead and tries to parse through that over a multi-year process of public input with the community. That can't fully get going until the city of Tucson submits its list. Now, I was going to ask the mayor about that, to just fact check the mayor, Sahuarita, who I'm sure is correct, but I wanted to make sure, is that true? Because we've heard for many, many months from the city of Tucson, we took a year on purpose to step back and look at Move Tucson. That year has become now almost 18 months. And there is interest by the RTA to look at some of the city of Tucson's priorities. This is fascinating to me, right? My understanding is former Mayor Rothschild, who was on the Pima Association of Governments, said, look, let's put Tucson's projects near the end. Let's balk them at the end. We'll fund them at the end. Here we are, and that's what's happening. 60% of the RTA's funding has gone to city of Tucson projects. The majority of multimodal transportation, light rail, bus, has gone to the city of Tucson. I continue to fail to understand where the unfairness comes in. And I'm willing to be convinced. Right. Smart people and smart arguments can convince me. I'm not stubborn. But it's not clicking for me yet. So anyway, I wanted to ask the mayor about that. When is that coming through? And more importantly, here's my gut feeling. In May of next year, the city council, the city of Tucson, the anchor municipality, has put on the ballot a renewal after the first five-year term of Prop 101, which, if you'll remember, was the city of Tucson voters saying, we will fund cops, we will fund fire, and we will fund roads, right? And you know, about a year later, I think, the Pima County voters said no to road infrastructure in Pima County, showing that the city of Tucson had built the trust to do so. Well, that renews next year. And the city of Tucson has put on the ballot for May of next year, as I understand, an item to renew that. If I had to place a bet, my bet would be that that will not include police and fire funding, but would be almost exclusively focused on roads and infrastructure, and would be a competitor to participation in the RTA. Right? Like, you know, I don't want to, you know, I'm not trying to be dramatic, but I'm looking at the wins there, and I was going to ask the mayor, is the city of Tucson committed to the Regional Transportation Authority, or is the chessboard being set up to go it alone? And I just need to ask that question. And I'm okay with that, because I think the questions we got to, public safety, minimum wage, small business growth, and vaccine and COVID, I mean, that's the top four. We did what we could, and I appreciate your feedback over the week to tell me, what do you want to hear the mayor and I talk about? 30 minutes feels like a long time. It's not a long time. It's just not a long time. But I wanted to ask her about that. I'm going to go to break here in a second, Matt, but first I also wanted to ask the mayor about affordable housing. It was something that she ran on. It's a crisis that is growing. I want to tell you, because I've mentioned it on the air, I was excited to see the community support yesterday at Tucson's Planning Commission in support of accessory dwelling units, which I think is a private citizen-driven opportunity to create more housing for more people, to get more people in the game of creating more housing for more people. The community support was incredible, and it passed the Planning Commission, and it is now going to go to Mayor and Council later in the fall. And I am asking the council, you know, personally one-on-one, to do that. The community has their back on adding another tool to the toolbox of fixing affordable housing. So I wanted to ask the mayor about that, didn't get to it, but this happened last night. I wanted to share with you because, you know, I've talked about it quite a bit on the show. Let's wrap up that way. Zyenser@gmail.com. You use that email to let me know what you wanted to hear and talk about. The same invitation's open, by the way, for tomorrow. I have President Bobby Robbins on from the University of Arizona. If you've got thoughts about what you want to hear there, I've of course got my list. But let me know. I always look forward to these conversations with folks who are moving the levers and making things happen. We get to have conversation with them live here on the air. We're going to go to a break. When we come back, Yvette Marie Margayan is with us. Tucson Tea Company, we're spotlighting small businesses in our community who have succeeded and thrived through COVID, part of our partnership here on the program with Vantage West Credit Union and the Tucson Metro Chamber of Commerce. That is how we'll wrap up the show. I love talking about the small businessmen and women who are heroes in this community, making the gears turn. We love them here on this program. We'll be right back. 10:30 The Voice. Don't go anywhere. What are the community stories that define us? Talking about these stories are what Tipping Point is about, and what Storyteller PR, a public relations firm in Tucson, has been doing meaningfully for years in our community. Storyteller PR activates publicity, social media, and event production to establish and strengthen the reputation of Southern Arizona brands and organizations. What story do you need to tell? Visit us at StorytellerPR.com to learn more. In 1994, the University of Arizona took the bold step of acquiring an industrial park in southeastern Pima County and transforming it into a university research park. With over 25 years of success, Tech Parks Arizona continues to advance innovation. Whether it's 40 startups at the University of Arizona Center for Innovation or the new Tech Park at the Bridges that just broke ground, they are integral in shaping the future of Southern Arizona. Tech Parks Arizona, moving innovation at the speed of business. You love Decibel Coffee Works, the coffee of Tipping Point and the Yenser household, for their quality roasted coffee and beans. Now they're giving you even more reasons.
Open now, the Scratch Kitchen at the MSA Annex will provide quick and easy breakfast and lunch with vegetarian and vegan options available to enjoy with your drink. Visit the MSA Annex right off the I-10 and Cushing to be one of the first to try. 267 South Avenida del Convento.
The economy is moving forward, and Arizona businesses are looking at new opportunities and challenges as we emerge from COVID-19. Leading companies are planning how to respond to new business and rebuild their teams and are looking for critical talent now. The right talent in key positions will make all the difference, and having a trusted and dedicated talent acquisition partner will give you an edge. Devin and her team at Talent Store will connect you with top talent while positively impacting time to hire, retention, and your employer brand. Learn more by visiting yourtalentstore.com and schedule time with Devin and her team.
When you manage your money with a credit union, you're taking true ownership of your finances and how your money impacts the community. Stop letting banking just happen to you. Bring your money home to Vantage West, federally insured by NCUA.
Tom Sullivan here, inviting you to join the rest of us who spend every weeknight from 7 to 10 with the Tom Sullivan Show on 1030 KVOI The Voice.
Good morning, Tucson and all of Southern Arizona. Again, welcome back into the 1030 The Voice studios. You're listening to Tipping Point. I'm your host, Zach Yens. We talk about the people, ideas, and issues shaping Tucson's future. If you're just joining us, our first half of the hour was spent with Tucson Mayor Regina Romero. We covered a lot of ground. I know a lot of people on both sides of the aisle are interested in the minimum wage increase conversation. That was one of four topics we talked about. I thought her input on it as the mayor of Tucson was really interesting. And if you missed it, you can go check it out on the podcast, kvy.com/podcast, iTunes, Google Play, Music, Spotify. We are there. You can find us. Essential workers have kept Tucson together through the pandemic. Now it is our turn, our meaning you and me and Matt and our guest in studio. Dine local, shop local, spend local. We are encouraging on this program, in partnership with Vantage West Credit Union and the Tucson Metro Chamber of Commerce, an essential customer campaign to encourage you that when you invest in and patronize local businesses, you are an essential customer, keeping those people thriving. Stop letting banking just happen to you. Become a member owner at Vantage West. And our business spotlight this morning is the Tucson Tea Company. Yvette Marie Margayan is the owner and is with us live in studio. Yvette Marie, it's good to see you.
Good morning. Great seeing you.
Tucson Tea Company, right?
Yes.
Perfect. I wanted to make sure I didn't have a moment of twisting those words around. Been following your journey, been following the company. I think I know it in my head, but I had a moment of doubt. So Yvette Marie, I want to ask you this. You own multiple businesses.
Yes.
In Tucson. We're talking about Tucson Tea Company today. You and your partner bought Tucson Tea Company, what is it now, 6 to 8 months ago, almost a year?
Yeah, so it used to be called Thunder Mountain Tea.
Okay.
And we bought the inventory. So
Got
we
it.
Bought basically all of the IP, the supply chain information, recipes. So the original LLC, the owner kept that. And so she still operates, she's an author. And so she still operates her writing business with her LLC. So when we decided to buy all of her supplies and everything, we still didn't have a name. And then I was just laying in bed one night. It was like 1 a.m, you know, thoughts spinning in my head. Went on GoDaddy, which I love that it's, you know, an Arizona-based company. I use it for all of the URLs that I buy. And I typed in Tucson Tea Company, and it was available. And I just like looked at my husband. I shook him awake, and I was like, "Oh my gosh, this name's available!" And he was like, "Buy it, and we'll talk tomorrow." And then
That's
he just
hilarious.
Fell back asleep, right? And so, and I stayed awake the whole night, just planning, and you know, with all these crazy ideas in my head. So
That's
we spent
crazy.
A few months doing all of the design and that sort of planning before launching. Mm-hmm. And in January, we launched with 20 of the original flavors from Susan, the former owner. And we've grown it to have over 100 in just under 7 months.
Incredible. So here's a quick question I wanted to ask you. You run a healthcare sector company in Tucson. Why tea? I mean, what was the inspiration during a pandemic to start a new small business in the food industry, in the food and drink industry.
Yeah, a funny connection. So being a therapist, I would drive around a lot, right? I would see my clients at their homes, at their schools, hospitals, etc. All of a sudden, we go virtual. We started doing telehealth instead of in-person consultations and in-person therapy. So I saved a lot of time driving. You know, some of the families that I would work with would be on Harrison, and then the next family would be on the west side. So I'd spend a lot of time commuting, and all of a sudden, I had all this time on my hands. And you know me pretty well. I don't like sitting very long, and I like being active. So one day I was overhearing my husband talking with his client about her wanting to sell her company or close it down because, you know, the pandemic was hard on her. She wanted to focus on her writing business, and she's a writing instructor. And we, he was putting together a marketing plan for her, and I was like, no. What do you mean she's going to sell the company? Like, we get all of our loose leaf tea from her. And so I just kind of started like dropping little hints to my husband, like, wouldn't it be fun to have a tea company? And then like he'd say little things and I'd be like, oh, it's your idea, right? You thought of it. Like, we should do this. So he talked with her and we came to an agreement that we'd buy her supplies and all of that. So it was nice to get a little bit of a head start because we were completely new to this. You know, we were tea fanatics, but we didn't know anything about the business. And neither my husband nor I have ever owned product-based businesses.
Right.
We were getting into the product-based industry with Autism Pediatrics, like creating materials and stuff, but not like this. So that's been a completely new experience.
So not only was that a complete new experience, but tell me what it was like to start a product-based, restart a product-based company during a pandemic.
We really just wanted to continue the legacy because Thunder Mountain Tea was 15 years old by then. And, you know, it had a name, it had its, you know, very consistent, longtime customers. So we couldn't see this fail. We didn't want to see it shut down. So it's been quite the journey. It's been a learning experience every single day, a huge learning curve. So I'd encourage anyone who wants to start a product-based business to just go for it. There's, you know, there are things that you don't learn in college. You just kind of learn along the way. You research and you ask for help from mentors and whatnot. So
right. So tell me, give me and by the way, we want to hear about the real life story of running small business during a pandemic in the city of Tucson. So I'm not asking for just a woo success story, but it really does seem like you've had a lot of success out of the gate, that Tucson has treated you well, and that the future looks bright. So let's go there. What have been the highs and lows? And tell me about your growth since owning it in January. You added to the inventory. It seems like you're kicking butt out there.
I hope so. We've been...
I mean, is the P&L showing that? I mean, I'm not asking numbers, but...
No, yeah.
Are you?
It's been growing a lot.
Yeah,
yeah. So we
great.
Were super active early on. January through March, we were donating a lot to healthcare workers. And we just did that because I, being in healthcare, appreciated these, you know, I consider them higher level healthcare workers, you know, the doctors and everyone on the front lines of COVID. And that's who we really wanted to help. And I think everyone just wanted to reciprocate the love and they started, you know, supporting us. So that I think really helped catapult us forward. And then we started doing local farmers markets, and we actually were just interviewed by KGA9 about the St. Philip's Plaza. And so all of the vendors at that market, even though we're in the middle of a pandemic, Tucson has shown up every single weekend. And so it's incredible because a lot of these people, it's not their side hustle, it's their primary job.
Life, yeah.
They create everything Monday through Friday, and then they sell Saturday and Sunday. These people are out there 7 days a week.
Yep.
You know, really putting themselves out there. So it's been incredible to see how supportive Tucson is. And, you know, anytime we would tell people, you know, we were a new small business, they would just pour their hearts out about how supportive they were and how brave it is to start a business right now. And I think that's been huge. It's just Tucson being the Tucson that we know, being super supportive of local small businesses.
Yeah. You know, on this program, I've said before that people who start and run small businesses, certainly during COVID, I think overall are heroic. And I know to some people that sounds a little hyperbolic, you know, radio show guy talking extreme terms. But I've run small businesses before, been in small business all my life with family. And a lot of people don't realize what it takes. And the 7-day-a-week lifestyle, and the fact that after all that, you eat last.
Yes.
Inventory takes precedent. We've heard from so many businesses who fed literally and paid their employees on their payroll in the worst hours of COVID for months just to keep that family, that work family, together. And so, you know, I think we have to tell the stories of what it's like to run small businesses. And I think the people of Tucson, by and large, understand when they drive by, you know, storefronts, those are real people.
Yes.
Behind those storefronts. I'm getting some questions about where can people find you. Let's jump there real quick, and then I have one more question for you. Brick and mortar company, or mostly online, or where can people buy from Tucson Tea?
So we launched online, TucsonTea.com. We actually made a code for your listeners, Tipping Point.
If anyone wants
to shop from us, you'll get 15% off.
Yvette Marie Margian, Tucson Tea Company, knows how to do it.
Yep. But so we do the St. Phillips Plaza every Saturday and Sunday. Right now, the hours are 8 to noon. And starting October, it's going to be awesome. The hours are shifting 10 to 3. And there's going to be hundreds of vendors. So it's really exciting because there's this really nice little ecosystem. And everyone is so supportive of each other. We've gotten a lot of surprising good news while we're there. We've been nominated for 4 awards so far. We won one of them, and we're still waiting on, you know, hearing from the next 3. But two of those awards, two of the nominations, we were informed at the market. So it was funny because we were serving clients, and then all of a sudden someone came up to say, hey, congrats, you've been nominated for such and such. And it's funny because you're in your flow working, and then all of a sudden you just kind of stop. Right, you freeze and you're like, wait a minute, what's happening right now? So it's really exciting because we've been told by quite a few of our customers that they're very loyal to all of these vendors. They go weekly, and they'll come up to us and say, oh, we nominated you for this and this. And it's kind of crazy because you don't expect that sort of, you know, interaction with anyone. You expect it to be kind of transactional and people to just come and go, but they don't. Like, we know our customers, they share their stories with us, we share our story. So it's really great to see just how interactive and how everyone really wants to show up.
Right. So TucsonTea.com is your website, and then the St. Phillips Plaza Artisan Market.
Yes, that's on River and Campbell.
Right, and you gave the hours of that, and those are the places where people can find you.
Yep.
Super. Tell us about the future. Part of this essential customer campaign that we're doing on the show in partnership with Vanjos Credit Union and the Tucson Metro Chamber of Commerce is also talk about what the future holds, an hopefully optimistic look at what the future holds. Vision cast Tucson Tea Company for us, and why when people buy from you, support you, invest in a variety of ways in you, that is meaningful towards the future you hope for with the company.
That's the million-dollar question. We get asked almost every other customer if we're going to have a brick and mortar or if we have one now. And that's a scary jump to make.
Because no joke.
We're still in a global pandemic, right? Like, we kind of all had this, like, we had our rose-colored glasses on saying, you know, oh, post-pandemic world because it's summer. But now we're seeing, you know, kind of shifts. And so before the pandemic happened, I was actually looking at expanding my healthcare company, was looking at a lot of different real estate, and then everything just kind of stopped. And so I still feel that lingering. So that's kind of the more bold question for us with Tucson Tea is, you know, we're getting a lot of traction, but is it the smart move right now? Because online, we have a lot of success. But a lot of people, you know, they want to come in, they want to interact, they want to smell everything. And that's the benefit of the St. Phillips.
Yeah. Yes.
You just walk by our stand and you smell, you know, all of these amazing smells. And so people will come right up to us. And I think that's the one thing that we're lacking online is that. But the nice thing also is that people seeing us in person will buy online.
I love it. Yvette Marie Margian with us, the owner, CEO, I'm assuming.
Yeah.
That's a do you and your partner have a dinner time conversation? I'm the CEO. No, I'm the CEO. No, you're the CEO, Yvette Marie.
No, he really doesn't like the spotlight. So anytime anything comes up, he's like, You're doing this, you're talking. And I'm like, okay, fine.
Tucson Tea Company. We've got a little bit less than 2 minutes. Your top three teas, right?
I want people
to go use, what's the code again?
Tipping Point.
Tipping Point. Go to TucsonTea.com. Tipping Point is the code. Mm-hmm. And your top three teas that you would recommend a first-time drinker of your teas drink.
So our Purple Berry Dream was just nominated for Best Drink in Tucson.
I saw that.
That one's been a hit, and it's just beautiful in nature. So it's really funny because we're getting a lot of nonprofits who are purple in their marketing who are reaching out to us. So that's been really exciting because we love helping philanthropy. And our next most popular is definitely the white peach. You can't go wrong with any peach flavor, so and that good. One's always a hit. Once we introduced the Purple Berry Dream, that knocked the white peach out of first place. So we'll see how long that competition continues. But now that we're in pumpkin spice season, we have the pumpkin spice blends and masala chai and, you know, all the spicy teas.
Yep, yep.
And everyone's been asking for them since June. Because I don't know if you remember last year, pumpkin spice ran out everywhere.
Yeah.
Like, it wasn't even September. It was August. And every store had sold everything out. And so it was this just, like, I was shocked because I didn't get to have anything, you know, made at home that was pumpkin spice.
That's the real reason you bought a tea company, so you could make sure you had your pumpkin spice supply this fall.
I had that little trauma left over of, wow, I'm not going to have any PSL. So that's definitely been one of the upcoming popular teas is any of the spices. And, you know, one of our mutual friends loves the apple pie more than anything in the world.
Fall is here. Maybe not temperature-wise, but fall is here. Tucson
Just
Tea.
Just crank up the AC.
Tucson. Tucson Tea Company. Yvette Marie, thanks for taking time out of your busy day to come on the show. And I hope our listeners support you now and in the future.
Thank you.
Yvette Marie, thank you. Well, that does it for our show today. Hugh Hewitt coming up next. Bill Buckmaster after that at noon, as always. When we return on Friday, we're going to close the week with the president of the University of Arizona, Bobby Robbins. Lots to talk about. He is our first, not our first guest, but he is our guest interview tomorrow. Jason Robinson, Mass Mutual, will actually kick us off. Financial Friday, get your finances right here with us on Tipping Point. Tucson, take care. Stay safe out there. Stay cool out there. Drink lots of good tea today from Tucson Tea Company, and we'll see you tomorrow, Tucson, here on 1030 The Voice Friday. Trusted local news and talk. Tipping Point returns.